What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Mike Bonney. What's up, dude?
Hey, man.
You guys have a good day today or what?
Yes. I was having a great day until I screwed up that intro for us.
Yeah, that's okay. It happens. I don't even know what happened, but, you know, we're rolling with the punches here, man, like we always do, so let's not even get into it. Did you guys enjoy that Thursday night football game last night, or you just kind of
like... Yeah, I really watched it.
Yes and no.
Damian Pierce is really good. He's just going to run for 139 points and or 139 yards and get 13 fantasy points. You know, and,
that's the fun thing with PPR, guys. When you don't get a single catch.
AJ Brown was out there doing his thing. Jalen Hurts was okay. It was an okay game. Did you guys watch any baseball?
Nope.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I didn't watch any baseball either. I'm totally over that. Once the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, I'm like, I've seen it all. That was the best thing I've ever going to see. Exactly. So I'm out.
I looked at it. Was football over with? Okay. Is the baseball game still on? All right. We'll turn it on.
Yep, for sure. But that's enough baseball talk, guys. Let's jump into our week 9 game previews. But before we do, like always, please smash that like button. Please subscribe to the channel if you don't already. Also, while you're at it, head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our memberships that we got going on over there. We had two top 10 rankers last week in the Fantasy Pros Consensus Rankings competition. So go get a plan and you get access to everything. You get direct access to those guys. So it's for a cheap price, it's a very good deal. So,
yep. Get to talk to all of us. A lot of breaking news also. I mean, whenever you get news, I'm putting it in the Discord, guys. So, I mean, bunch of behind the wall content like Herm's waiver wire. That's valuable information going into the playoff stretch, guys.
Yep. But without further ado, let's jump into it, guys. This is kind of going bye week crazy here. Browns, Cowboys, Broncos, Giants, Steelers, and 49ers are all on byes this week, fellas. It's
six total.
That's rough.
That's hell.
Is this close to Bye-mageddon like last year, or is it not quite there?
It's not quite there because the teams aren't the same. I'm pretty sure we had the Chiefs and the Bills on that Bye-mageddon last year. So, I mean, it's not as bad because you got the Giants. I mean, you got Barkley, but that's about the only one you're really starting from there. I mean, other than that, you got Cowboys, Browns, so Nick Chubb, Zeke, but many people were frustrated with Najee Harris already.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Pollard, too.
Yeah, people are happy. But then you also got CMC. People are happy the Steelers are on bye, so they don't have to play Najee Harris in their lineup. They make it easy for them. But jumping into our first game, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Atlanta Falcons. Ike, starting with you, Keenan Allen apparently tweaks his hamstring during the bye week again. So he was ruled out today. Mike Williams is out as well. So that pretty much leaves Joshua Palmer and a sick DeAndre Carter, because that came out that he popped on the injury report with an illness. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the wide receiver room here in this game.
Is Palmer going to play for sure? Because wasn't he questionable?
Well, he had a concussion before.
He's playing the punt?
Yeah, him and Eckler were taken off the injury report.
He's worth playing the flex zone because he's averaging 7.5 with Keenan out, 7.5 targets with Keenan Allen out. He did miss the last game they Chargers played, but the week before that he scored like 15 fantasy points or something like that. So he's definitely flex worthy. But honestly, it's gonna be Eckler, and some more Eckler probably.
It's gonna be a 15 target game for Austin Eckler, I think, as well, man.
Probably.
I agree with you there.
We have a question, and it does have to do with this, and that's why I want to bring it up.
Sure,
Keith, good friend of the podcast, he wants to know: Josh Palmer or Khalil Herbert PPR flex spot?
It's Josh Palmer. I'll keep it short and sweet. But Mike, I'll let you give a little bit of a spiel if you want.
No, I mean, you hit it right on the head. It's Palmer all the way. I mean, if Montgomery was out, it'd be a different story, but he's still in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, jumping into the Falcon side of things, man. We finally saw it. We finally saw some sort of ceiling from Kyle Pitts last week, guys, catching 5 for 80 and a touchdown, around 19 fantasy points. Mike, was that just a one-off game, or are we going to be able to start seeing some consistency out of Kyle Pitts this week and moving forward?
I mean, it was kind of a two-off. I mean, the past three games, he's got a 31.5 target share. Now, we know this is a skewed statistic since they don't throw the ball that much, but he's also led the team in targets the past two games, so that's a great sign, you know, because it was Drake London or Olamide Zaccheaus. Now, here's some encouraging data. I looked up Travis Kelce's snap counts his past two games. Now, you know, they had the bye week in there, so I skipped that out. But his past two games is 78.1 and 77.6 snap percentage, you know, him out on the field. Kyle Pitts' past two games, 78.7 and 74.6. So he's almost out on the field as much as Travis Kelce is right now.
I like to hear that.
Now, granted, they don't throw the ball as much as the Chiefs, so that's why that target share is a little bit skewed, all right? But he still led the past two games in targets, which is definitely encouraging. So it is looking up for Kyle Pitts. I won't lie. It's kind of looking down for Drake London, though.
Yeah. Hey, Drake London had a little bit of a bounce back, but it hasn't been good. I wrote about him in my start sit article that he hasn't finished as a top 36 receiver since week three. And it's been bad, man, like outside the top 50 most of the time and stuff. So he's no longer startable, Mike. Like, I think you were alluding to that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, bye weeks are put a damper on things, so you might have to, but like, yeah, it's not good. We got another question here in the chat, guys. Pick two, got DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, DeAndre Carter.
Put them all. I believe that's Michael Carter next time, bro.
I believe it's Michael Carter, not DeAndre Carter.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
I hate to say it, but I think you're playing.
Isn't Williams the starter this week?
Yeah, Swift is banged up, man, and he's gonna be on a snap. He's gonna be on a snap count.
But we've seen him on snap counts before too.
Yeah, like we've talked about it, he's a big play guy, and he can, you know, turn 10 touches into 75 yards at a touchdown. You know,
absolutely. And Michael Carter plays the Buffalo Bills, which does not allow very much of anything to any position.
Sure, but you don't want to play two Lions though.
No,
but you are playing the. It's not ideal, but you're playing the Packers, where, I mean, the Packers are expected to be winning. I mean, they're supposed to be winning. So you would think the Lions were going to have to throw the ball and use Swift a little bit more than Jamal Williams.
That's so tough, man. I'd say almost.
But if he's not 100%, I mean, they're probably not going
to. Yeah, Gary, I kind of want to tell you Jamal Williams and Carter to play it safe. But that's
what I'm going with.
That's played it super, super, super safe, I think.
I don't know, because, man, Michael Carter ain't doing shit.
9 points. 9 points last week. That's what I mean.
Boy, he's still the guy there.
Now you have James Robinson, who's going to be a little bit more incorporated in the offense, and you're bringing in a tough matchup against the Bills. So that's my concern here. They got a solid matchup against the Packers. You know as well as I do that they can't stop the run.
Which is more better for Jamal Williams than Swift, I feel like.
But if they're down, that also benefits Swift.
Yep.
Are they going to be down, though?
Lions?
Against the Lions?
Yeah. You'd like to think. But maybe not with the way that offense is playing. But the next question, guys, are pulling up. Try to get a wide receiver. Hold on, I missed one. My team is Hurts, Cook, Kamara, Etienne, Gibson, Henry, Drake, Pacheco, wide receivers, Pittman, D-Hop, Amon-Ra. Any trade ideas? 10-team, 4-4 record. Try to get a wide receiver for Gibson and Drake. Any ideas? Keenan Allen? Well, that doesn't help you now, man. I know you're 4-4. Keenan Allen doesn't help you. What do you guys think for like a Gibson and Drake? Maybe a Gabe Davis-ish type of player, maybe? Or that might not even be enough to get there.
Who, boom or bust?
I don't know, yeah, because like Drake's not much. He's not going to be as relevant once Gus Edwards comes back healthy. We've seen the Ravens. They want to use Gus Edwards. Gibson does show value. I got a little bit of info on him in our matchup there, so I think he can draw some attention, man. But that's kind of tough because you're gonna have to.
Is that Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I'm assuming. I honestly, he's 4-4. I think he should stand pat. I don't think he needs to make a trade.
Because you can trade Henry, Etienne, Kamara, or Cook and get literally a wide receiver one and still be good enough with the other three.
Yeah, if you wanted to do that, man, you could. But I don't hate it just staying put, to be honest with you. Your team is pretty solid. You have solid wide receivers. Darren Waller is just kind of fucking you, to be honest with you.
I mean, Pittman's not been the greatest. D-Hop's coming back to save.
I know Hopkins. Hopkins awesome. And if Amon-Ra St. Brown can stay on the field, we know he's awesome as well.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Dylan on this one. You don't need to make a trade.
Yeah,
if you're going to, man, try.
I feel like you can get one of the right, get rid of one of the running backs.
Yeah, get rid of one of those running backs because you got Cook, Kamara, Etienne, and Henry. I mean, you're not going to be playing all four of those guys, most likely.
He said, "Why did that trade?" He said he traded Terry Lockett and Foreman for Henry. I like it, man. That's your move right there. Then I'd stay put. Stay put, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, he can play all four. He's fine.
Yeah, let's jump back into our game previews though, guys. We got the Miami Dolphins at our Chicago Bears. Ike, with the addition of Jeff Wilson to this backfield, what could we expect between him and Raheem Mostert moving forward and this week?
At least for this week, it's Raheem Mostert's. I don't expect Jeff Wilson to get too much work, but again, you never know. But as the season progresses, I'm assuming it's going to be more 50-50. They're kind of like the same player, though, which is kind of weird that they have both of them. So I'm kind of interested to see what it is. Right now, I'm leaning towards the first guy. I forgot his name already.
Mostert. I'm curious to how big of a gap these guys are in your rankings. Like this big? This big?
It's probably, I'd have to look again, but last time I checked, it's within like 20. Because I don't think Jeff Wilson's going to play a lot.
It's not that late night of a podcast to be going this big.
Sorry.
I don't think Wilson's got a bigger role this first week.
Yeah. I hear you. I agree. I think it's.
I disagree a little bit because Wilson does know the scheme for Mike McDaniels. Mike McDaniels came from the Niners. That's fair. So I don't know if it's.
Fair.
I mean, he could know the scheme already. I mean, it can't be that much different. So that's the one thing is. But it is Raheem Mostert for now until, you know, cross our fingers. Hopefully he doesn't get injured.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But, Mike, let's jump over to the Bears. And they had a decent-sized acquisition of Chase Claypool for a second-round pick to the Steelers. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how this affects the offense as a whole. Does this help Darnell Mooney with another guy on the outside to pair with him? Does this help? I mean, obviously, I'll answer this one for you. This helps Justin Fields, who's been thriving.
Thank you.
As is.
That was my first comment. Thank you. But I think it gives Mooney a little bit more target opportunities, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys, I mean, I know you guys watched the game, but from what I found out from doing my research, Mooney plays most of his time outside the numbers, not in the slot.
Yep.
And Claypool has played a lot of his snaps from the slot this year. So this could give Mooney a lot more opportunities on the outside, along with, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown. But
and Keel meaning Harry, that,
yeah, and Akeel Harry, giving, you know, Claypool's going to take that inside attention away, which could leave Darnell Mooney a little bit more single coverage on the outside, leaving that deep ball, which Justin Fields loves to throw. So yeah. I think it helps Mooney the most besides Fields.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love it for Fields. And if Justin Fields is still on your waiver wire, guys, you need to pull the trigger on that and start him this week. The Dolphins are 25th in the NFL at DVOA against the pass, so they've been struggling. And the Bears, I would assume, are going to be pretty down in this game because the Miami Dolphins offense is rolling, plus they just lost Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. So it's bad news Bears for this.
Oh, yeah, the NFL leading tackler and your team's leading tackler, Roquan Smith. So they ain't going to be able to stop no run. Start Raheem Mostert.
Definitely not. Yep, Raheem Mostert is a very, very, very solid start this week. Let's just hope Jeff Wilson doesn't vulture some touchdowns, which we've seen in the past.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Next game, guys, we got the Carolina Panthers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Ike, last week, man, this might have been the game of the week between the Falcons and the Panthers. You know, we had the controversy of PJ Walker throwing an absolute beauty of a bomb to DJ Moore. him catching it in the back of the end zone. He's out of the field of play, and he takes his helmet off, and he gets a penalty for it. They end up losing in overtime. Eddie Pinheiro fucks up.
Quick little side note. I actually saw that technically that was an incorrect call because he was outside the white lines of the end zone, so he wasn't in the field of play.
That's why I say he's outside the field of play. It was kind of...
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, yeah. But it was pretty upsetting. PJ Walker, he kind of had a moment, man, and he should have won the game for them twice. But sorry, I'm burying the lead here. Can we expect DJ Moore and Deonta Foreman to keep up this production that we've seen the last couple weeks? And Chuba Hubbard, I haven't heard, guys. Is he questionable or was he
ruled out? He's out. He's ruled out. Yeah.
Deonta Foreman.
Which means Deonta Foreman to the moon. So you got to start him no matter what. Mm-hmm. As for DJ Moore, the Bengals just got
to the moon, Foreman, but yes, you're starting him.
The Bengals just got lit up by Jacoby Brissett and Amari Cooper and all those goons. So I'm pretty sure you could start DJ Moore against the Bengals this week. I'm not saying he's going to be like phenomenal, but he can get you a decent outing. So I would definitely start DJ Moore as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm rolling DJ Moore out in my lineups as well. Mike, jumping over to the Bengals, man. Losing Ja'Marr Chase, who would have thought it? It was tough for the offense to get going, losing a playmaker of that sort. T. Higgins struggled a little bit. He was saved by a garbage time touchdown late. Tyler Boyd, I think, was kind of disappointed. If I'm wrong, go ahead and tell me. Does this offense improve this week against this Carolina Panthers defense?
I do think it does. Panthers allow the 11th most receiving yards. They're 24th against the run, which is a little surprising, but that bodes well for Burrow in this offense that likes to pass the ball. All right. They allow the 10th most points to wide receivers and the 12th most to running backs. I mean, it does look like a bounce back week here. Carolina Panthers cornerbacks have been dealing with injuries. I know J.C. Horn finally came back last week. And he kind of did some work against London, but let's be honest, that offense did some work against London. So yes, I do think this is a bounce back week for them. I'm just tempering my expectations a little bit because the Panthers are showing a little bit more fight in them than I expected Steve Wilkes as the head coach and, you know, losing CMC. Like Deonta Foreman coming out and getting three damn touchdowns. Like, that's impressive, especially for a team that was counted out in the beginning of the season.
That's our one guy that we could talk about coming back from an Achilles injury who's been awesome when he's got an opportunity, man. We saw it last year.
True.
When Henry was out, we saw it, and now we're seeing it this year, and he looks good doing it. But before we jump over to the next game, Austin's saying $67,000 hit last night. I hope you're talking DraftKings or FanDuel. That's fantastic, man, if you did.
That's
congratulations. That's
yeah, hell yeah. Don't go spending it on some fancy record player.
True that. I've never heard such good advice before in my life. jumping over to the next game, guys. Yeah, he said it was DraftKings. That's awesome, Austin. Congrats.
That is awesome. Yep, congrats, man.
The next game, we got the Green Bay Mike's Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Ike, is anyone not named Aaron Jones startable this week from this Packers offense? And please tell me A.J. Dillon is. It's against the Lions, Ike. If you can't start A.J. damn Dillon this week, man, you're not starting him the rest of the season.
I'm actually starting him in one league just because it's the Lions. This is literally his last chance to show me that he can actually be started in any format. So it's a big week for him. But other than him, I don't think he should be starting any of the wide receivers.
Right. Was Alan Lazard ruled out or is he still questionable?
Questionable.
Okay.
It hasn't been official.
I think Tanyan at this point is a little bit streamable. I think Rodgers trusts him. You know, this offense is just bad, man, unfortunately. But I think this is the week that the running game just gets going. And they kind of need to do, Mike, and I hear your thoughts, they kind of need to do what the Giants are doing. They kind of need to do what the Bears are doing. They need to just run the damn ball
with these two running backs. Their offensive line isn't allowing it, though, because their offensive line is not great right now. That's the only thing. It is pretty bad. Like they were projected to be a lot better going into this year. Getting Bakhtiari back was supposed to bring some hopes up, but no, man, this line is struggling to keep Aaron Rodgers up, which means they're going to be struggling to push for rushing yards. That's my only thing.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. We'll go ahead and let me ask you about the Lions now. I know we already talked about Swift earlier when it was brought up in the comments, but let's get a little bit deeper of a rundown. What do we expect from him? What do you expect from him this week on a snap count?
Oh, it's a good question, though, Dylan. I temper my expectations here. I mean, Swift is not getting any red zone carries. He didn't get one last week. I mean, but he's getting red zone targets, which is nice. It turned into a touchdown, which we know is in his game. It's in his wheelhouse. Yep. He had 5 targets last week, 2 more than Williams, but I mean, Williams is obviously leading the charge on the ground. He's got 10 rushes to Swift's 5. But I mean, if you're in a PPR league, I mean, I think Swift is startable as an RB2 flex play this week. Half PPR, you're bordering more on flex because the only thing keeping him alive is PPR.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you there. I know we saw Amon-Ra have a great start to the season. Then he got injured, came back last week, and he was solid. Are we expecting wide receiver 1 numbers rest of the season, or is he more borderline wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 territory?
I expect wide receiver 1 volume, especially with the trade of TJ Hockenson. I just don't guarantee wide receiver 1 production. It's I think high end wide receiver 2, mm-hmm. absolutely. And the volume, if he can make it pay well, I mean, I just think it's a tougher matchup this week against if they do put Jaire Alexander on him.
Yeah, they won't shadow him, but Ike, you got you want 10 seconds on it? You looked like you kind of had an opinion there.
I think with Jameson Williams coming back at some point, it's going to hurt Amon-Ra a little bit more, so I think more mid wide receiver 2.
Very solid point, my dude. We haven't talked about Jameson Williams a whole lot as a podcast. That is a definitely a good.
They're still not designated to return from IR.
It's been a while, man. But they say end the season.
Yep, and we got to remember that this dude was probably the wide receiver 1 in the draft class if he doesn't get injured.
My only thought here, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, is if the Lions season is done,
it is.
What's the point of bringing him back?
You got to see what he can do.
Yeah, but we know what he can do, and an ACL injury is a pretty hard injury to come back from, and you just don't want to rush a guy that you drafted in the first round.
We're past ACL being big news, man. They come back fully.
On a skinny baby like Jameson Williams, that's my
own. I mean, there is some fantastic doctors out there, just not the guy who did Odell surgery. Just don't have him.
He fucked up big time.
Yes.
Don't go to Tyrod's doctor in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I agree. Those two guys need to be blackballed. Jumping into the next game, we got the Las Vegas Raiders at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike, Raiders are probably the most disappointing team in the NFL, I'd say. Besides maybe, sorry, Mike, earmuffs, the Packers.
Or I'm Buccaneers. Not disappointed at all because we have their first and second round picks.
Like, but we kind of saw the Buccaneers thing coming because of Brady having such a nightmare off season. I mean, maybe not to this extent, but that guy's out of roller coaster of emotions. But let me ask you here, Ike, about the Raiders offense as a whole, because I know you own Davante Adams in our most important home league, and he's just kind of dicking you down, doing you dirty, man. He's really bad. And that's not something we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing Davante Adams just being steady as could be. It's like him and Tyreek Hill switched bodies. And it's like, it's so freaking weird. But what are your thoughts on this offense, man? I set you up for Davante Adams, so you can talk about him if you want.
He's actually only had like two bad weeks where it's been under 12 fantasy points. But
well, we never
he's
used
been
to see
saved
that.
By 3 games where he scored or a touchdown or more. Like, he's not getting the usual 10 catches for 150 yards, whatever he's used to, 2 touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. I thought Derek Carr would hyper-target Davante Adams because they're bros and shit like this, but for some reason Derek Carr is like, I'm too good to throw the Davante Adams, I can throw the other people, and it looks terrible. So I just feel like if they want to win, they should probably go to him. and probably Josh Jacobs as well. I think they'll all bounce back, but it's definitely scary to think. They're definitely not performing well.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't have too many shares of that offense.
Yeah. And it's not
like, does Derek Carr lose his job if they keep losing like this?
I don't know who the backup is. Who's the backup? It's definitely
No, like at the end of the year.
Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham.
No, like, no, don't. He was brutal, but at the end of the year.
It won't be Stidham. But yeah.
At the end of the year, maybe Stidham or something. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, it definitely.
And then what happens to Devontae at that point? Because that's
you
the
spent
they
too much
Devontae in.
To get this guy then, to not use.
Yeah, him. You're gonna give one more year to Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels. You're gonna give and Devontae Adams. You're gonna give it one more year. It's just been an absolute nightmare for the Raiders this season.
Their defense is so bad.
Yep. Unless you're Josh Jacobs fantasy owners, it's been really good.
Took last week.
Jumping over the Jaguars side of it, Mike.
Let's jump on in.
Usually I give you an ETN question, but we don't need to give you one this week because we know we're starting him. He's freaking awesome. And then we got the wide receivers. Christian Kirk just kind of starting to be inconsistent after an extremely hot start to the season. What can you expect from Trevor Lawrence this week against a bad and struggling Las Vegas Raiders defense?
Yes. Just yes. Start him. Put him in your
Mike's
lineup.
Been waiting for this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been waiting for this one. I got some juicy information here for you, boys. Week one, the Oakland Raiders played Justin Herbert, a lot of QB5 finish. Week two, Kyler Murray, QB8 finish. Week three, Ryan Tannehill, not been very good this year. He finished as a QB8 against the Raiders in week three. Russell Wilson, we know how he's been doing this year, guys. All right. Week four, he played him, finishes QB3. All right, week five, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, it's Mahomes. He finishes QB2. Week six was their bye. Week seven, bring on Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. He finishes QB8. All right, last week was actually the worst QB finish for a QB that's faced the Raiders, and that was Andy Dalton finishes as QB.
You still fucked me.
But reminder, still won us six packs against Ike.
And yes, beers and beers. Just toss them Which over, Ike, and I'll smash those fuckers like I'm Stone Cold.
All Derek Carr do was just be okay. Instead, they're like, you know what? Here you go, Andy Dalton. Just destroy us.
But yes, I mean, this is the best defense to stream any QB against this year, guys. Play whatever quarterback plays the Raiders. They allow the most QB points. It's not even close. I mean, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, and Davis Mills all finished as top 10 quarterbacks, guys.
The Russell Wilson one made me laugh. And Davis General Mills, man, I love that shit, too.
He's so boring.
That pencil neck geek.
I'm sure in week six for their bye week, they allowed it. In
he
week
did.
Six, they probably allowed a QB10 finish to the NFL. I don't know. I mean, it's been bad. But yeah, start Trevor Lawrence and start your receivers.
Yep. Jumping into the next game, we got the Sam Ellinger led Ellinger. I can't say his name. I want to say Ellinger. Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. The biggest fantasy news drop today was Jonathan Taylor not being able to suit up. And man, that number one pick is just cursed. Christian McCaffrey, 2 years.
Yeah, it is, man. It really is.
Bad. Jonathan Taylor, he was getting less and less of a consensus number one towards the closer to draft season. But, you know, he was still probably the number one pick. And I'd say 80% of drafts, he's just disappointed. And now he can't stay healthy. My question is to you, my man, is we've seen Deion Jackson already once produce big time the last time Jonathan Taylor was out. There's no more Nyheim Hines. He's in damn Buffalo. I'm curious your thoughts on Deion Jackson this week against the Patriots defense.
They also said Zach Moss is not going to get he doesn't know the offense yet, so he's not going to get a ton of carries. So I'd be starting Jackson literally everywhere you have him. I'd pick him up if he's on your waiver wire somehow, like I saw on Yahoo, in our Yahoo league. So I picked him up real quick.
Man.
But yeah,
man. I was very upset. I was very upset with that because now I'm starting Allen Robinson in my flex over him. That's
I almost asked Khalil Herbert, and I was like, maybe if Deion Jackson there, maybe nobody found it out yet. And sure enough, I found him like, oh, shit.
I was too busy trying to work a deal with Dylan over here.
This is true. And we did get a deal done, man. We had, if people want to comment in the chat and see who won the trade.
No, you won.
I acquired Dak Prescott and Daryl Henderson. Michael Platt acquired Devin Singletary. Let us know who won.
Yeah, in a vacuum, you absolutely won. No joke.
Oh, okay. You're just going to let me know. Jumping over to the Patriots, though, Mike. This offense is a little goofy. We got Mac Jones. He's been struggling all season long. Half of New England wants Bailey Zappe. I know we don't want Mac Jones for fantasy purposes. I guess let's talk backfield here. I think we know that Ramondre Stevenson's the guy, right? But
yeah.
Is Damian Harris still startable in a pinch like this week with six teams on bye or whatever it is?
Man, six teams on bye, that really throws it for a loop there because, man, he's not even.
Thanks, Al.
He's not even registering here for the snap count. So, like, Damian Harris is really fluttering on not even being start worthy. Now, if you are absolutely down in the dumps with buys, injuries, yeah, you know, throw a body in there because the running backs are brutal right now.
Yeah,
hope for a touchdown in a solid matchup. It's not great, but it's a solid matchup. Man, I'm concerned here though because you were banking on only a touchdown. There is no more volume here for Damian Harris. Ramondre's taking all the PPR work, and he's taking about 75% of the rushing work. So it's really good. I know it's there's really no like way he could thrive in this offense at this point because Ramondre's just doing so well, and they've realized that Ramondre is the guy. I think this is. I was shocked they didn't trade him at the deadline. So yeah, for I mean. Sure.
Stevenson is their best offensive weapon outside of Jacoby. All I do is catch touchdown Myers.
I know. No,
apparently. That's what it is. He's got like three out of his last four games or something. Jacoby Myers, he's a start this week with six teams on by no doubt, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
We got go ahead.
Another guy with the target share. That's kind of insane.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got 25 plus.
We got again, this next
statistic. But go on.
Speaking of target share, Gabe Davis's team, Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. I'm not going to ask you about Gabe Davis. We're going to save that argument for the.
We'll be here forever. Yeah.
Yeah. But Ike.
Didn't he shoot the bed last week?
No, but he saw seven targets, man. That's the most targets he's seen all year. So that was a good week.
Boom.
Yeah.
He saw seven targets. His target share is going up. Nice.
Bingo, bango, bongo. But man, let's talk the backfield here because this disappointed me because Devin Singletary had been awesome and he was really the only guy they trusted in this backfield. They added Nyheim Hines. I teased it earlier. I'm curious your thoughts on Hines's involvement this week and moving forward. And is James Cook dead? And what does this do to Devin Singletary?
You could drop James Cook unless you're in dynasty leagues. I'd still keep him around, but
yeah.
It was definitely an interesting move to me because James Cook and Nyheim Hines are kind of like they both are literally a receiving back. That's about it. Clearly, they didn't think James Cook would be good enough to carry them to a playoff run, I guess. So they got Nyheim Hines, which means. He's probably going to take the PPR work from Singletary because he's a better receiver than him. So he might maybe in a few weeks be worth flex for sure. But right now I keep him on the bench.
Why do you guys think that they just don't trust James Cook at all? Like they drafted him.
It's a rookie.
To do this job, to be the pass catching guy.
First snap.
You know they wanted J.D. McKissick this offseason, but he decided to go back to the Washington Commanders for some weird reason instead of chasing a championship with the Bills. It is. It is. But yeah, it's just weird how they're just like, not this year, James Cook. We're not letting a rookie fuck up our Super Bowl.
And that's exactly it. It's running back depth. I mean, they had Zach Moss behind Devin Singletary, which we know they didn't trust him. All right, now we have James Cook behind him. So they had to go and get a guy that they thought, you know, if Devin Singletary were to be injured, banged up in any sort of capacity, they have a competent RB that they can use in the, you know, in their back pocket.
Yep. You're right, man. Jumping over to the Jets side of things. Mike, we finally saw it again. Since Joe Flacco, Garrett Wilson produced. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on if he will do it in a not so easy matchup against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, your hopefulness is going to go to shame because no, it's not against this matchup. Unless it's a bunch of garbage time points, which I mean, you know how faithful and trustworthy those are. I mean, try to find someone else to play here. The Bills are 12th best against the pass. I mean, Garrett Wilson is, I do think this is going to be a situation where the Buffalo Bills make Zach Wilson see ghosts because the Bills defense is really good. Zach Wilson does not look like he is a mature enough leader. I mean, last week, some of his interceptions, he's falling back on his back foot, throwing up a pass. Like
doing a lot of damn weird things, Ben.
Yeah, like that's something you do in college. You can't do that in the NFL anymore. And if you're going to do that against this Bills defense, man, you're going to have at least 4 turnovers. So, agreed. And it's hard to get points if you don't have the ball.
We touched on Michael Carter a little bit earlier when it was brought up. Do you like him in this matchup? Because ideally they're going to be behind. They're going to want Michael Carter in there as the pass catcher, the dump offs. He's probably the best pass protector, especially with James Robinson being new to the team. Is Michael Carter a solid RB2 this week?
I mean, James Robinson is expected to get more involved this week, and that's my concern here. I do think Michael Carter is still the PPR guy, which does give him a little bit more value. I mean, he got 7 targets last week, so that's what we're loving, is the targets, because it's not the production on the ground we like from Michael Carter. If he can catch all 7 of those targets PPR, we love it. That's free 7 points. I mean, he is getting a 13.5% target share the last 3 games. Breece Hall's been out how many games now? Like 2?
That was his first one. That was the first one.
That was the first one. So, I mean, yeah, I can only expect it to just go up a little bit more. So, I mean, he's flex worthy, but this is a tough matchup. And, I mean, that's going to be some pretty bad volume.
Mm-hmm. He's no Breece Lightning, man. No. Unfortunately, we lost him. And the Jets lost them because I have a feeling it's gonna go start going down the drain here the Jets season. We got Tyler here chiming in. Eagles, give some love to the best team in the league. We did, man. We talked to Eagles at the beginning of the show, actually. Shout him out a little bit. Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown.
I was shocked they let Houston as much involved in the first half, but they put him away in the second half.
Yep, for sure. Which is different for the Eagles. Usually they're a first half team and let the team come back a little bit in the second half. Is a little bit of a role reversal.
So true.
And then trash can. He thinks he's
Alec.
They didn't, Tyler, but he's made a bounce back. He's back. Tyler, he's back. DJ Moore for days.
I mean, he played the Falcons, back, guys. They allow the most points to wide receivers.
He's there.
I mean,
he's relevant.
Let me have a moment, would you?
No.
I did say start DJ Moore last week in DFS. That was the one week he could do it. Play any receiver against the Falcons. AJ Terrell's out once again.
The next game, guys, we got the Minnesota Vikings at the Washington Commanders. Ike, this was another big trade team. Weird, too, in an in-divisional trade. Excuse me. The Vikings acquired TJ Hockenson for some draft capital from the Lions. I'm curious to hear what kind of hit his fantasy production takes, good or bad, this week and his rest of season outlook.
I think it hurts him pretty bad. I think he's still a top 12 tight end, but he kind of morphs into a little bit of an Irv Smith type of player, unfortunately, just because of this offense. It's obviously Justin Jefferson's receiving, it's gonna go to him, it's dealing will get his, but yeah, it's not a great spot for him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Not this week, and you know, he's still a top 8 tight end, probably, but
you're gonna have to play him for the rest of the year, but yeah, it's not great. Hope maybe you can get Taysom Hill. That'd be sweet.
I gotta pull this comment up. I appreciate the shit out of this. What do you think?
How many homers?
Oh God, I'm probably smashing 100.
No, man, I'm lucky. You ain't smashing nothing.
Oh man, I'm lucky to get one. I'm a contact hitter.
Oh man, jump it back into it, guys. The Washington Commanders, guys. Great news this week. Daniel Snyder hiring Bank of America to possibly sell the team. Let's go. I know Joe Bond.
I believe it was Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z who put the bid in for the Commanders.
Let's go. I don't give a shit who it is. Elon Musk want to buy the Commanders too. I don't care.
But, he's got too much invested in Twitter already.
This is true. Taylor Heineke. The Taylor Heineke led Commanders, guys. They got a little bit of life. I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're 2-0 since Heineke's been started. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a little bit of life here.
Mike, let's talk this nightmare backfield, though. Brian Robinson, great story. Comes back, missed 3 games after being shot 4 times. But he hasn't been good, unfortunately.
Great story for Brian Robinson. Unfortunately, like someone like Michael Thomas, who sprains his toe, is now on IR. But you got Brian Robinson. Fantastic story. He gets shot.
Bro, don't mess with the toe injury.
You don't want to get me started about Michael Thomas, man.
But yes, fantastic story for Brian Robinson. But go on, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. Antonio Gibson's starting to take it back over. Like Brian Robinson's just not doing enough to keep his job. Do you see him losing it to Antonio Gibson?
I don't see him losing it because it's working. They're winning games. And I think this is – I kind of saw this before, but I wasn't ballsy enough to say it. I mean, Antonio Gibson has kind of filled into that J.D. McKissick role, but because it's Antonio Gibson, he can do more than J.D. McKissick. All right? He has flex appeal with the 7 targets he got last week. He had 7 carries, you know, to Brian Robinson, 8. Which is only 1 less. Robinson's not getting any targets here, and McKissick doesn't get enough work. He's only got 5 targets and 2 rushes. That's 7 total touches. I mean, to compare to Gibson's 15. And if Gibson's going to continue to get those 7 targets, he caught all of them, free 7 points.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I know. I'm shocked here, but Antonio Gibson's a little bit more playable than Brian Robinson just because of the PPR format, half PPR. Brian Robinson's a Damian Pierce. He gets all the, you know, he gets most of the working load on the ground, but he's not getting any work through the air.
You know, we like to think Ron Rivera is a pretty solid coach, right? Why did it take him so long to be able to figure out that Antonio Gibson is the most talented?
I think you give him more credit than I do. Backfield.
Sure. Him and Cam Newton went to the Super Bowl, man. I think
he's worse for not recognizing this.
I don't know. I agree. That's what I mean. You would have thought he would have recognized it earlier.
If he was smart enough, he would have recognized, why am I trading for Carson Wentz? I just seen the Colts do it. That didn't work out, but yeah, do it.
Yeah, I can't allow us to bash on Chico any longer, though. We got to move on. We got the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. Like, what a wild season it's been for the Seahawks, man. What do we even talk about this offense? You got Ken Walker. He's startable. You're starting Tyler Lockett. You're starting DK Metcalf, who's a little bit hobbled, but he's in your lineup. You're rolling with him. I guess the only really thing we need to talk about here is if Geno Smith is streamable and startable this week against this soft Arizona Cardinals.
Defense. Do you know he's QB8 on the year?
I did. I did know that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. You know, Marcus Mariota's QB9, I believe.
Rushing floor, man. That's how you know fantasy football score is a little broken. That's a different topic on a different day. Maybe this offseason or something. We'll get into that. Maybe we'll try to fix it.
But I didn't mean to hijack that. Go on, Ike.
What was the question?
Geno Smith is streamable. Are you starting him this week against Arizona?
Arizona's kind of got a decently tough defense.
It's been getting better.
It's a divisional game, but you're still starting Geno Smith because for some reason he's turned into like a good quarterback. So he's got the weapons. He's throwing in a lot. He's scoring. He has a little bit of rushing floor, I guess, like minor, I suppose. But yeah, he's worth a top 12 for sure.
They're letting Geno cook, man. He's doing. I like it.
Why do they let him cook but not Russ?
Because Russ was an asshole, evidently. Everyone hated him.
Maybe Russ just couldn't cook.
Fair. I got to correct myself. So Geno Smith is QB7, Mariota's QB8, and you know who's QB9?
Daniel Jones.
Who?
Daniel Jones.
Dan motherfucking Jones. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Cardinals side of things.
That's too much work for me to find right now. Move on to the next question, then I'll come back to you.
You suck.
Well, you got the next question, man. I'm about to ask you about Rondell yep. Moore, who we saw bust out last week on an awesome t-shirt touchdown where he got his undershirt yanked and stretched like six, 7 yards.
QB 11. Like,
nice. I like that.
Nice.
Has Rondell Moore earned your trust, Michael Plant, or not?
He hasn't earned my trust just yet, but he's earned a wide receiver 3 flex territory for me. Seattle's allowing 26.8 points per game to wide receivers, so I am tempering my expectations a little bit because that's not a lot. I mean, Atlanta's allowing 40-plus to receivers, so just to put you in perspective. But they do allow the 12th best to QBs at 17 points a game about. So, I mean, something has to give here. Kyler Murray is a good enough quarterback to reach that 17-point threshold. And, I mean, the thing about Rondell Moore, he's been getting – he got 98.7% of the snaps and 8 targets last week. If he gets that every week, I mean, yeah, he's absolutely wide receiver 3 flex worthy. He's a little bit more matchup dependent on how if he's going to have that explosion week that he had last week, though.
Agreed. The Seattle defense has been sneaky better than what we anticipated.
James Conner, another good draft class by Schneider.
James Conner is a game time decision again, correct? Right?
Yes.
Yep. Enos is a borderline RB2 if you need to start him. So
yeah, if Conner's out.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go any deeper than that. But before we jump into the next game, Ike, I got to know, man. What are you eating over there?
This just in. Ike is eating.
I was hoping, like, nobody really noticed. I've been kind of, like, softly. Uh-huh. But it's popcorn.
All right, right on. Right on.
Are we entertaining to you? Like, a movie?
We're not even arguing tonight, and you're tossing popcorn in your mouth.
I know. It's interesting. At least save it for the arguing, man.
Yeah, for sure. But jump into the next one. We got the Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've got a hobbled Cooper Kupp here. This backfield sucks. Ike. Allen Robinson getting a little bit more involved. I'm not sure what his target share was. I'm sure Michael Plant does. You do as well.
No chance.
Van Jefferson is healthy. I'm curious to hear who you.
He's got a 20.6 target share the past 3 games.
26%?
20.6.
Oh, okay.
Only getting about 6.5 a game, though.
That's less than Gabe Davis' 7, but double the target share almost.
I know. This is why target share is
but go
he averages 5.5. He had 7 one time in his career.
Has Allen Robinson earned your trust this week and moving forward?
In deeper leagues, yeah. I think the addition of Van Jefferson helps because it like stretches the field a little bit, and then Allen Robinson can do a stupid little 5-yard curl flats.
Yep.
And then catch a touchdown for no apparent reason. So
it's fade routes, man.
That's why they paid him so much money to run fade routes.
10 team leagues, I wouldn't be starting them. 12 team, probably flex borderline. And then if you're weird and go any more than 12, you probably should be starting them.
You're probably mostly starting him this week with 6 teams out of bye if you have him rostered. I know he's in my Warrior Bowl lineup this week. But jumping over to the shit show of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Michael Plant. We're starting Chris Godwin.
Thank you for not giving me the Buccaneers.
We're starting Mike Evans. We're starting Fat Lenny, even though he's kind of Rashad White, not quite startable yet.
You got to start Lenny with the bye weeks. That's the only thing. That's why.
Let's talk about the divorcee Tom Brady here, man.
You want to shit on him some more?
Just been a complete nightmare of a fantasy football season for him. I think
it's probably because I drafted him.
He's finished as a top 12 quarterback only 2 times all season long. And he was drafted as a top 8 guy. What do we do with him, Mike, this week? And what do we do with him moving forward?
I'm finding somebody else to start over him this week. I mean, if you could have gotten a Geno Smith off the waiver wire to start over Brady, you could have gotten a Trevor Lawrence. Great play this week over Brady. I mean, Rams are middle of the pack on defense, 14th best against wide receivers, 34.6 points per game, but 9th best against QBs. I think you have to start him because of bye weeks, but like I said, if you have like that guy you got off the waiver wire, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. I'm trying to think of another one right now. Because I'm like, there's a line here. There's a line here because, like, if Ryan Tannehill's out, hell no, am I starting Malik Willis over Tom Brady? So
maybe
I would start Justin Fields over Tom Brady. Yes, the way they're using him right now, I would start Justin Fields over Tom Brady.
100%. 100%.
But if you have another option like that, you know, off of the waiver wire, I'd be trying to start Brady over him.
Agree.
I mean, yeah, that person over Brady.
Sunday night football, guys. We got the Tennessee Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs. Ike, easy question here. Are we starting anyone besides Derrick Henry in this Titans offense?
No. But
especially with Malik Willis, right? He's dog shit.
If I wouldn't say he's dog shit. It's just he didn't throw very much.
He threw 10 times, right?
That's yeah, that was it.
That's what you can expect if he's starting.
I
would not start any of the wide receivers. I would almost lean towards starting Dontrell Hilliard over the wide receivers if Malik Willis is a starter. But if it's Ryan Tannehill, you can probably start Robert Woods, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. That's an interesting point, Ike. Hilliard has done okay at times this season, what we've seen, and he has a decent role in this offense. But yeah, everyone else in this offense just got. But jumping to the Chiefs side of things, Mike, you know, I think Juju's. We've learned all about Juju now. You got to plug him in your lineup and hope for the best. Sometimes he's going to give you a clunker. Sure. Other times he's going to be really good. Nobody really else on this team is wetting my whistle besides Travis Kelce, but let's talk about.
Not even Mahomes? I'm just kidding.
Let's talk about the running backs, man. Isaiah Pacheco, he's the starting running back, I guess, or whatever that means. He didn't lead the backfield. He didn't lead the backfield in touches. It was Jerick dead legs McKinnon. And then you got CEH doing whatever CEH does, probably trying to find the end zone somewhere because apparently all he does is score touchdowns this year, Mike. What are you making out of this backfield, though?
I know you're going to probably disagree with me, but I think you could really only start CEH at this point, and it's because he's getting the red zone work, which we know the Chiefs. we know the Chiefs get to the red zone, guys. I mean, there's three things in life, death, taxes, and the Chiefs scoring in the red zone. So he has 16 touches in the red zone for 6 touchdowns on the year. I know it's a little insane here, but Pacheco only has 7 touches in the red zone. Like, this is why CEH is making his hay, because the running backs really ain't doing too much here. I mean, unless it's, you know, that PPR work, which is dead legs McKinnon's getting. But CEH, he does get involved in the passing game a little bit here. And realistically, I mean, CEH only had 2 less rushing attempts than Pacheco. So, I mean, it's kind of CEH for me because they use him in the red zone. This is the guy they trust as of now in the red zone. That could turn into Pacheco down the line.
Yeah.
But as of now, it's CEH.
Pacheco, they just had a bye week, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is probably when you'll see Pacheco start getting worked in more. Based off, like, previous rookies, yeah. Like, usually after bye week is when they start getting their role.
I agree, but Andy Reid's a little different with his rookies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing that kind of tempers my expectations. I'm willing to make another bet on it with you if you want.
No, I lose too many times.
Mike, let's monitor that this weekend, and let's kind of talk about that on the last call, Mike, on Sunday. We'll revisit that.
Maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. But we got one more game, guys, the Monday Night Football game. We got the Baltimore Ravens at the New Orleans Saints, guys. Just nightmare backfield situation. Well, in general, it's just kind of a nightmare injury season for the Ravens again. We saw it last year too, and now they're dealing with it. Rashad Bateman out for the season. You know, J.K. Dobbins is on IR. Yep. Gus Edwards is banged up with a hamstring injury. So now we're back to Kenyon Drake as the lead back. Justice Hill, I think. I don't know if he's in or not.
Hell yeah.
And then we got Devin Duvernay on the outside, Ike, with a banged up Mark Andrews. I'm curious to hear where you have Kenyon Drake in your rankings and Devin Duvernay in your rankings.
Big boost for Duvernay, I would think.
Choking out a popcorn kernel.
I will always be skeptical of Devin Duvernay, so I have him ranked pretty low. I think like maybe 50 something, because last week he was saved by that rushing touchdown, right? I'm pretty sure he had a rushing touchdown.
He only saw
four or five targets, I'm pretty sure. So he's not getting a crazy target share, especially in that offense when they like to run all the time. So I'd rather play Kenyon Drake over him, even though I'm not the biggest Kenyon Drake fan. But you probably have to start him with the bye weeks just being brutal.
I would assume so as well. And I don't hate it, man. New Orleans aren't as good at stopping the run as they have been in the past. But Mike, our last team of the night, man, you know, Mike Thomas ruled out for the rest of the season with that toe injury. We talked about it. Is it really just Kamara and Olave or bust in this offense? And Taysom Hill, whenever he wants to throw up a 30 pointer or something.
I mean, you can start Taysom Hill with the six bye weeks and the shitty tight end landscape just because
he's even getting you 7 points on random games. So, I mean, for a tight end, that's fine. So he should be starting 12 teams.
Yeah, but it is Kamara or Olave that you could really trust here. I mean, Olave with the news of Michael Thomas going to IR, done for the year. Great news for Olave. You're starting Kamara. I mean, Ike, you're going to, you know, cream your pants when you hear this, but he's got a 26.2% target share the past three games. I mean, this is what we loved with Drew Brees, and he's getting it with Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Olave's got a 19.7 target share the past three games. And here's really the mind-blowing stat for me. Well, I mean, I know Olave leads the league in, air yards, but he's 15th in targets for all wide receivers this year.
Mm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They're using him in this offense. His
yards per target is probably insane.
You're going to make me look it up, aren't you?
Maybe it's near Gabe Davis level.
Yards per target is 8.7.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. But his yards per reception is 14.8.
Right on.
He's great after the catch. That's what really gives him his value.
Yes. Yes, it does. But that wraps up our week 9 game previews, guys. We got one more question before we wrap it up. Let's keep this snappy from Steezy. We got Herbert, Eckler, Henry, D-Hop, Gabe, Dave, Higbee, Kenyon Drake. That's the starting lineup. On his bench, he's got A.J. Dillon, Deontay Johnson, Taysom Hill, and Waller. What moves do I make?
I think you need another wide receiver, in my opinion. To have Gabe Dave as your wide receiver,
you're probably trading Waller and Deontay for a better receiver or a better flex option.
Yeah, if you could go Waller and Deontay for maybe a Christian Kirk type, and so you could start him.
That's over a Kenyon lot. Drake,
maybe a little bit, maybe someone a little bit.
No, if you're trading that much, you should probably get like Mike.
Yeah, you should be targeting
Chris
like
Godwin. That'd be Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. That would be okay. Yeah, I think that'd be the only move I would make. I honestly, like the other guy who asked us what moves to make tonight, I don't hate your team. I mean, Kenyon Drake kind of sucks.
You're just probably getting bad luck right now.
About him. Yeah, right. I don't necessarily know that you need to make a move, especially with Chase Claypool leaving. That opens up more opportunities for Deontay Johnson as well.
If you only start two wide receivers and you're starting Gabe Davis as your wide receiver too, I'm not
feeling
that
great.
Yeah, that's my one concern. So maybe upgrade the wide receiver two position because Deontay has not been good in that offense. That's my only thing.
I agree.
No, keep Deontay and put Gabe Davis in trade and get someone really good. Get Davante Adams, maybe.
Yeah, Gabe Davis is kind of a big name. You might be able to float him. He's a big name for a guy who's, you know.
Find someone who needs a tight end for Darren Waller.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a decent idea, man. But yeah, guys, that wraps it up. Thanks everyone for tuning in. If you haven't already, please smash that like button. Please subscribe if you aren't already. Head on over to fantasysixpack.net. Check out our plans that we got going on over there. And then, you can follow Michael Plant at @BeLike_Mike with two eyes. You can follow Mike Bonney at @Ike2121. He also does the injury impact article. Do you do another one as well for Fantasy Six Pack?
Drop list.
And the drop list. You can follow me at D.
I do gotta, because I mean, before fantasy receipts get you, I do gotta say this. You did say drop Raheem Mostert in one of your first articles for that drop.
First one, dude. First one. I did it in my second one. I'm like, in the intro, I'm like, so
go pick him back up.
Way wrong about Raheem Mostert. My bad, guys.
Fantasy receipts ain't listening to this. But you can find me on Twitter at dclavis2222. I don't really tweet a whole lot, but I retweet my articles and other cool stuff at fantasysixpack.net. But for Mike and Ike, I'm Dylan. Guys, we will talk to you next week. Oh, sorry. Find us on the Sunday social live stream as well on Sunday. We'll answer all your start sick questions. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.